time of day you're listening to this. Happy day. It is December the 11th, 2017. Another Monday evening episode with Winfrey and Terry Brown. My name is Gijs Minderhout, located in Paradise, California. And as usual, this is a simulcast with a conference call. We have a few people here. Thank you all for being here. If you want to, please say a name and location.
Cecil C. Serpent from Seattle.
Hello, Cecil. Good evening and welcome.
Thank you, Hive.
All right. Who else? Feel free to say a name and location, and feel free to not do so. We welcome you. And welcome to everyone on BBS Radio. We are still a few minutes away from the hour, so we wait for more people to show up here on the call, and also for Wynn and Terry to become present.
We get that helicopter fixed.
Yes, it's not out there yet. And as usual, we do every day a whole planet healing call at 7 p.m. Pacific, which is right after this hour. And the whole planet healing call, you can find the information on www.wholeplanet.com, W-H-O-L-E, planet. healing.com, where you can find the phone number and the access code. Right.
I've got the phone number here if you want to hear it.
Go for it.
712-770-4340. The access code is 250513#.
Thank you, Cecil. And we had a few more people join in here. Welcome to the call. Please say your name and location.
Hello, it's Jane in Pennsylvania.
I picked up Jane. Good evening, Jane. Welcome.
Thank you.
Good evening, Heis. It's Cleo from Connecticut.
Hello, Cleo. Welcome to the call.
Thank you.
Thank you for being here.
Hello, Dharmananda here.
Dharmananda, good evening to you. Welcome.
Thank you. I just got my blood test back. I had hepatitis C. I don't know how I got that.
I hear a kitty cat.
Yep. Herman, what do you want to say? What do you say? You want to say something?
All right. Welcome to the conference call. Please say your name and location.
Hello, hi, Joe here.
Hi, Joe. Good evening. Welcome.
Thank you.
Thank you for being here.
Thank you.
Are you close to the fires in California?
Edna.
Hi.
Guten Abend, Edna. How are you?
Guten Abend.
All right, very good, thank you. No, I'm away from the fires.
Okay.
Hello, Anna, Kent, Washington.
Hello, Anna. Welcome to the call.
Thank you.
Who else joined in? Please say name and location. If you want to.
That's me again. I think I got kicked off.
Welcome back, Joe.
Thank you.
Right, and more people have joined in. Welcome. If you want to, please say name and location.
It's Don in Northern Ohio. Hi, everybody. Hi, hi.
Mm-hmm. Evening, Don. Hi, Don. Welcome.
Thanks.
You're welcome.
It's Helen in Virginia Beach.
Hi, Helen. Good evening. Welcome.
Good evening. It actually is evening here.
All right.
Every time you guys talk, it's very choppy on my end. I don't know what's going on.
You sound fine.
Sound good?
Yeah.
Yeah, you sound fine to me.
You guys are choppy.
We had another caller join in. Welcome. Please say name and location. If you want to, and more people join in, welcome. Please say name and location.
Positive greetings live from Sedona.
Hello, Raiden. Welcome to the call.
Thank you.
And then welcome the next caller. Please say your name and location. If you want to.
Hi, this is Terry in Sedona.
Hello, Terry. Good evening. Welcome.
Hi, Terry.
Hello. Hi, Terry. Hi.
Hi, Terry.
Hi.
And more people join in. Welcome. Please say your name and location.
It's Lynn.
Hi, Wynn. Welcome to the call.
Hi.
Hi, Wynn.
Well, then.
Greetings.
And then welcome to the next caller. Thank you for being here. Please say your name and location.
This is Roger in Austin.
Hi, Roger. Good evening and welcome.
Yeah.
What kind of weather in Austin?
75 today. Sunny.
Oh, I'm so jealous.
We had our winter a few days ago.
Okay. Yeah. It wasn't as bad as this.
Well, at least it's not white.
Yes.
Welcome to the next caller. Please say your name and location.
Hey, guys, this is Bonnie.
Hi, Bonnie. Welcome.
Hi, everybody.
Hi, there.
Are you at your restaurant, Bonnie?
No, I'm at home this evening.
What are your hours?
We're open from 9 a.m. till 2 a.m.
That's right. It's a bar.
Yes.
Hmm. Cool. I like that.
Yeah, 18 hours a day.
And do you have a happy hour?
Oh, of course.
9 a.m.
Every hour is happy hour.
9 a.m. to 10 a.m. Do all the town drunks show up?
No, not necessarily. We have another place here in town that opens up at 6 a.m. I think they kind of gravitate over that way a little bit.
What city was that?
This is in Austin. Corona, California.
Oh, wow. Pardon people.
Now, Corona, is near Riverside, right?
That's right. Exactly. Mm-hmm.
You're not near the fires.
Pardon me?
You're not near the fires in California.
No, they missed us, fortunately. But in surrounding areas, though, they've been popping up.
Oh, dear.
Popping up.
Popping up. Sparking up. Yeah, unfortunately.
Mm-hmm. Welcome back, Don.
Thanks.
Thank you for asking, Wynn.
Well, I think it's nice that you're doing something like that.
It's a big job, big learning curve for me.
All right. You know what? I'm going to have an open mic tonight. Do you guys mind?
No.
No.
Would it make a difference if we did?
Well, God. If I have an open mic and nobody says anything, it's like
dead air.
Dead air, right. Then I'd have to blab for the entire hour.
Wynn, I have to thank you for letting me interrupt a couple weeks ago on our question and answer call when I asked the question out loud. But that was 2 weeks ago. Never mind.
You know what?
He forgot.
That's okay.
I have a better memory than Terry. But only a little. But I remember more things than her.
She has probably better discernment than you do.
I wouldn't go
she
that
was right
far.
About the. She was right about the Alexandria Library.
That's funny yesterday.
Hang on. If we're going to have an open mic, I'll start the tape recorder. That way, you guys can understand how different it feels when we start the recorder. Okay? It's like, hang on a second.
This conference is being recorded.
This is December 11th, 2017. Wynn and Terry in Sedona. Everybody everywhere. And we are going to have an open mic. Okay? That means anything goes. Does there happen to be anyone on the line that is new to our calls?
Too bad we don't get to wow them with our wackiness.
Is there anybody on the line that's new but scared to say it? Okay.
I hit a lot of yeses.
You heard a lot of yeses?
No, but there might be a few.
Well, you said hello to everybody.
Yes, but if they don't say hello and I see a strange number, then I don't know.
So you saw some strange numbers, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
No, I'm a first time caller.
Oh, thank you for admitting it. All right. What's happened? What's your name, if you want to say it?
My name's Terry, and I saw your interview with Alfred, and I found my way here.
Okay. Mm-hmm. What city are you in?
I'm in Roy, Utah.
You're not a Mormon, are you?
I escaped.
Pardon me?
I escaped that cult.
You escaped. Okay. Did I talk about the Mormons on Alfred?
You said something. I've heard you say something about the Council of Elohim is in the Book of Mormon.
Well, at the very beginning stages of this, which was in 2002, I was with Daphne. And she's the one that started channeling. And she was having all kinds of panic attacks. And it was disconcerting because it was hard to have a relationship with her. And at the same time, she would tap me on the shoulder and say, those guys want to talk to you again. And you know, she was saying, well, if they are who they say they are, why am I having all these attacks? And so at a certain point, I asked them, isn't there somebody that would find this important? And, you know, they had demonstrated a certain amount of, how would you say, predictive ability. And they told me, they suggested that she and I go to Mesa, Arizona, okay? And we were going to go to Mesa. I was going to go for the weekend. And we never got to it because she left. She just drove off kind of crazy. And I thought this was the end of it. You know, 6 months of talking to this voice that says they're the Elohim. And after a few weeks of feeling a little depressed, I called Terry up, and Terry and I have been friends for years. We did all kinds of crazy adventures together, but nothing ever, anything like this. Terry came over in the middle of the night. She woke me up and said, get out the tape recorder, and a voice came through her, said it was the same Elohim. So I didn't believe it at first. I thought that Terry was trying to be, you know, important to me. She was competing with Daphne, although, I mean, I just couldn't, it was just too crazy that they went from one person to another. But I started asking them questions, and after a couple of months, I said, I think this is the same source. So I asked them, would it be good for Terry and I to go to Mesa? And they said, it would have been better for you and Daphne, but you'll learn something if you go with Terry. And I was kind of being like a detective. I was leaving no stone unturned. I'm trying to say to myself, how do I believe this? Why are they talking to me? I still say that. I still say, why are they talking to me? it's like I know I'm kind of doing a pretty good job, and I know that I'm not attached to the recognition of it, and neither is Terry, and I know that it's making a difference for a lot of people. So we continue. But Terry and I were in Mesa, which is a suburb of Phoenix, and I'm sure all you guys heard this story 20 times. So this will be the 21st, but it's really good for me to share it to somebody that was a Mormon. So we're staying at Motel 6, and we go out for dinner, and I ask the waitress, what is Mesa known for? And she said, Mormons. And she said it was an early settlement of the Mormons after they founded Salt Lake City. So I went, but we went back to the motel and we did a channeling. And I said, you don't mean for me to introduce myself to the Mormons. And the reason I asked is because I Googled the word Elohim, and it came up that Elohim was the Mormon word for God. So in the channeling, they said, not the entire church. There's a small group here who will be open to you. And so I said, how do I find that group? I'm only here for another day. And they, now remember, I'm still trying to believe that they're real. I'm still checking everything out. And they told me, go to the church on Grand Avenue. And I look in the phone book, and sure enough, there was a church on Grand Avenue. I was surprised. So it's Sunday. I went to the church. I introduced myself to the bishop. And I said, you have time to talk to me? And he took me into his office. And he listened to me for 2 hours. He didn't throw me out. And he said, when Mormons believe anybody can be a prophet, and I'm not going to say there's anything wrong with your story, and would you be willing to share your story with some of my church members? At which point, he made an appointment to go to somebody's house. He drew a map, and I still have the map. I said, someday, nobody's going to believe this. And the next day, Terry and I both went to this house, and then we were going to leave for L.A. after this meeting, because Terry still had a job at a legal office. So I'm telling my story, and people are paying me respect and attention. No one looked at me like I was, demonic. But in the middle of me telling the story, Terry interrupted, and she said, they want to say something. Is that okay? And my first thought was, is it okay? What am I going to get hooked into here if they say something? And then I, after about half a minute, I said, okay. Terry looked at everybody, and they were speaking through her, and she said, they want you to know they're hearing your prayers. And everybody started to cry, and including me. And we left that meeting, and I said, you know what? Maybe they are who they say they are. It seemed so far out. But we drove back to L.A., and then I quickly started studying the Mormons. I started asking questions about the Mormons. And what came up was that Joseph Smith really was communicating with the same Elohim that I was. But it started to get negative sources, probably with Brigham Young and thereafter. And the reason the Elohim don't describe themselves as God, they say they're a group soul at the beginning of creation. And they're underneath the one infinite creator. And they say they created the universe. And I guess we've had like 25 sessions on how they created the universe. And the sessions have been amazing. No one has ever made a description like this before in terms of creation. And the lower realms of the universe, like us here on Earth, have gotten very separated from Source. And they felt sad because of all the suffering that goes on in this realm. And it was possible for an Elohim soul to take a body. And they had done this in the past. And oftentimes, when they took bodies and they came into this realm, they no longer remembered why they were here. They also no longer knew they were an Elohim soul. And they were also contracted in this realm. And sometimes they would go negative because they had a lot of power over other people. And if they came into this realm and they exercised their power, they would become controllers. So they wanted to create a venue where Elohim souls could come into this realm and be reminded that they were here to be of service. And that was the reason for the creation of the Mormons. And the original children of the first people, the first born of the Mormons, you know, the original children were Elohim souls. And that is why Mormons are weird, okay? And I don't mean really in that in a negative way. But when they explained that all to me, I started thinking about it. And I am like kind of a detective when it comes to these things. Somehow, I have to prove it to myself. Can't believe it just because they tell me. And so, who's making all those whistles in the background? I'm going to mute you. We hear you. I have all the lines open, so try to keep your background noise down. So, I thought about Mormons. I know. So, I see never mind. And I put together four little things that kind of back up that idea that a lot of Mormons are actually Elohim souls. One of them is Mormons tend... Okay, I'm muting that person. It's not even Terry. There we go. Mormons tend to be fairly attractive people. Even when they're not necessarily positive, you look at people like Milt Romney and a lot of Mormon women, and they're attractive because their genes, their DNA hasn't gone through a lot of lifetimes in this realm and gotten corrupted. Number two, Mormons tend to take care of each other, probably better than any other religion. And now, I am not endorsing Mormons, because there's a lot that's wrong with them, as far as I'm concerned, in the way they evolved from their, you know, from the Joseph Smith time. But they take care of each other because they have memory on a subconscious level of group energy and family. The Elohim in the higher realms are like a group energy family that work together. And so the third thing is, Mormons can be very industrious. They're good at business. They're good at focus. They are the best at multi-level marketing because they know how to create a family feeling amongst people. And I happen to have been years ago in a multi-level marketing company that was run by Mormons. And I didn't know any of this, but I loved the energy they created. And Terry was in it, too. We were in it together. A company called New Skin. And then the real closer for me on this idea was that Mormons, for all their good qualities... Now, I'm not talking about the church. I'm not talking about the dogma, the beliefs, the restrictions, all those things. I'm talking about the quality of the average Mormon as a human. The Mormons tend to not have street smarts. And they don't have the wisdom of this realm. And if you know Mormons, you'll know what I mean. And they tend to attach themselves to their dogma extremely tight, except for the ones that can't stand it, because they don't have the wisdom of this realm, because they're new souls in this realm. And in comparison to the Ra group, the Ra group is the other group soul that we are affiliated with. The Ra group went through maybe 1,000 lifetimes here, and they graduated. And then they teamed up on the other side to try to help planetary populations who were stuck in reincarnation to graduate from it. So the Ra group does have the wisdom of this realm. And, you know, the Elohim group, when they come here, are more radiant. They are more attractive. They are more focused, but not the wisdom of the realm. The Ra group has the wisdom of the realm. So it's like, if, you know, one good intuitive way for me that I came up with to notice the difference is you could compare Donnie and Marie Osmond, who really, when they were young in particular, really represented Elohim energy. Loving, radiant, but simple when it came to understanding this realm. You could look at Bob Dylan, and he would be a guy that would be an old soul in this realm, and he would, you know, and he's got a cranky-looking face and appearance, but his wisdom goes extremely deep, at least when he was younger. So I understand why people leave the Mormons, because I know all the things, I have some idea of the things that are wrong with them. And, you know, there's kind of, in general, an oppression towards women by men in that. But nonetheless, it is what it is, and that's the difference. Any other Mormons on the line?
Yes.
Is that Cecil?
Yes.
Does that make sense to you, Cecil?
Well, some of it. I don't go with the thing you just last said about the whatever you said about the women being oppressed or whatever.
Well, this is from things I've read. Maybe I'm reading about old polygamists that have 10 wives or something. but share your perspective on it. Do you think they encourage women are actually, you know what? In a certain sense, women tend to be very nurturing of men, don't they, in Mormons?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Everywhere, I think.
Everywhere? Well, sure. You know, there's certain, in society, women are, you know, with women's lip, there's an attitude that if a woman is nurturing to a man, then she's not fulfilling her highest purpose. And so women get competitive with men. And but Mormon women tend to be nurturing. And that does not mean they're subservient. You know, it's like, I always talk about people have their innate human needs, and they can't help it. Men have their needs, women have their needs, and they're able, they have the potential to fulfill each other's needs. They're not supposed to be the same. They're not the same. But when you're in a relationship with the opposite sex or even the same sex, somehow or another, your needs have to be met or the relationship won't be successful. Okay? But in any case, anything else you want to add, Cecil?
Well, I'm just thinking that the from the Mormon Church, the way they treat their women with the highest possible respect, mm-hmm. and the women's organization that they have, the Relief Society, is the largest women's organization in the world, and they do an awful lot of good, and they're very well respected, and you know, we can't say enough about the women's and their ability and their, you know, their role in the world.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you for coming to the plate on that. Okay.
Sure.
Plus, I'm not. I only read about the women that got abused occasionally by an abusive husband.
Well, I suppose that happens everywhere.
It happens everywhere, right. So let me not take it out on the Mormons. And I think, you know, from all the time you've been on the calls, I think almost certainly you're an Elohim soul. I don't know, do you identify with that idea?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm the oldest son of the oldest son.
Okay.
Of my great-great-grandfather,
mm-hmm.
Who came from England and knew Joseph Smith and all the early leaders, lived right with him in Nauvoo and came across the plains with him and all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So go ahead.
You know, the real purpose of having Elohim souls in this realm is that it's kind of what we're doing. We create group energy, and I don't know how many people are on this line that are Elohim souls, but the Elohim souls in this realm have the greatest ability to connect with the celestial Elohim, okay? And that when that connection is made, it can create a very powerful transmutative energy, a very high intention for shift. And that was the purpose of the Mormons, to create Elohim souls in this realm that could link to the Elohim in the higher realms and create more potential for change in this realm. So, thank you for being here. You probably are one of the people that help hold the energy on our calls. I mean, many people do. But an Elohim soul can pull the energy for other people who are not so connected with the Elohim. So at least that's my take on it, you know? And any other Mormons here? Anyone else want to make a comment? Was that Terry who I was talking to, who was the Mormon?
Ex-Mormon. Mormon.
Yes, I was on
me. Ex-Mormon. Yeah. Did that make any sense to you? Are you a Mormon in a lineage, or was there a conversion?
Yeah, I was born and raised LDS.
Okay.
Yeah. But it makes the thing that I was thinking about was the fact that's the reason that they started polygamy, was to increase their numbers. And I thought that's ironic, even though the cultures and stuff are against it. It could have actually been a divine providence thing.
To
increase the numbers of the Elohim in this realm.
Yeah. I mean, Mormons never consciously know what I just said, right? They don't know their Elohim souls, right?
Right.
But the Mormons have, is the only religion that says when you die, you go back to creating stars and galaxies, right?
Exactly.
Yeah. And that would be true for an Elohim soul if they caught up in the karma of this realm. That's the trick, because it is so easy to get caught up in the karma here. It takes just one tiny little move that goes, and this is not to punish anybody. No one knows the stakes. No one knows about it. It can be one bad boyfriend. It can be many things. It's kind of like if you look at Donnie and Marie Osmond, they certainly don't have the innocence now that they did when they were kids. They've had divorces. I mean, I can't remember. One of their children was gay. Not that that's wrong, but Marie had her bad relationships, and they're not as radiant as they used to be, at least from my perspective. But thank you for sharing. Who else wants to start a topic? See what I mean? Open mic. Anyone have any opinions about the fires in California?
No, I have something else to say.
Go ahead, Don.
I was just going to say that I don't know if anybody ever looks at those TED Talks or TEDx Talks.
Yeah.
I was just thinking about how we could turn the world into a utopia if we just took all the good ideas that people have that exist right now and, you know, started implementing them.
Mm-hmm.
That's all I wanted to say.
Well, thank you. You know what? I don't think you could do that unless there were people also holding the energy, okay, of high intention. You know, energy is infectious. When people hold energy of loving energy, and I don't mean being a sap, but having your heart open does not mean you have to go around being a nice person or propitiating to other people. Some people do think it's that, but it's not that. It's more than that. It's an energy that radiates from you and that other people feel it. I remember when I was young, I could watch people that just had that. And I was intrigued by it because I couldn't do it. I felt alienated when I was young. And I couldn't figure out what I was supposed to do. Nothing really captured my passion. But I was going to make a comment about... Okay,
yeah, what it makes me think of, Wynn, is that quote you read last night during the whole Planet Healing call. That was... you remember the quote last night about thought forms, how particles are created?
Mm-hmm.
And it really, I think, applies over here with putting your consciousness towards something. And as you can do it as a group.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what Madonna is saying that, you know, if you put your consciousness behind ideas and then see how the energies will grow from there on.
The problem is, if you want to call it a problem, is that there are many really good ideas, but it is very hard to implement good ideas. Very hard. And I am surprised myself at how hard it is, because I'm just one little guy, and I'm constantly implementing ideas. And occasionally something works. And so often, things get divisive between people. And I try to take responsibility for the divisiveness. When it gets divisive, I say, what am I doing to create this divisiveness? And, I mean, there's aspects of me that are cantankerous, that don't want to be controlled. And even when I override that, I end up having... There's a certain point where there's free will, where if somebody has a certain predisposition and is counter to the highest good or the highest purpose, then no matter how much I would like to see something happen, that person's attitude is going to prevail. I can't force them to change. See, we can't force anybody to change. The Elohim can't force us to change. Everything that changes in us has to come from our own inner volition.
Stop it. Get out of here. Jesus Christ.
We hear you. Thank you, guys. So, you know, there are groups of really high, like TEDx, for example, when they talk about those things. Is that John? John, are you building houses? There we go. It's like even when we talk on these calls, I know we are planting seeds, and they may not sprout tonight. You can hear things we say, and they say, that's a good idea, but you're still not able to implement or pioneer something. But to see what I have seen in my life, as I was growing and attending lectures and hearing people talked that were smarter than me, they kept planting seeds. And it could be a year later that a seed started coming to fruition where I could start applying it and see a change in my life. So one has to be patient with himself. I have to be patient with you. You have to be patient with me. And I have to be patient with Terry. And I see how it works. You have to hold the energy regardless if you get an immediate response. And I should say Terry has to be patient with me. It's that when you hold unconditional loving energy towards somebody, and that does not mean to be patronizing or propitiating. It just means to hold the energy of. It creates a space for the person over time to change. And they may not change. They may and they may not. You can't be attached to results. So now, who is that making all that noise? Let's see. Did anyone have a synchronicity this weekend? This week, past week? Was anybody really hurt by something this past week? Are any of you afraid of going broke?
Yes.
Yay. Now, who said yes, if you want to say it?
Jeannie? Yeah.
You feel stuck on money?
Stuck on money. That's an interesting phrase. Well, I just feel I'm in the middle of a long, long struggle. Let's just put it that way.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I haven't found my way out yet. I do have a glimmer of hope, though.
Okay. Well, thank you for I think a lot of people have that, okay?
Yeah.
And you know, money is one of the trickiest things in this realm.
Period.
Especially since there is so much energy that comes at all of us that wants to keep us down, and that one way or another you have to overcome that energy. One thing I realized, this is a tricky one, it's not so obvious. Sometimes we have friends that have similar predispositions to us. And if you suddenly lifted yourself above what would have been your limitations financially, your friends might have a predisposition to be jealous, which then creates an automatic inhibition to advancing yourself, because part of you knows your friends would be jealous, and you don't want to risk losing them. Of course, the other alternative is you can start supporting them, which, this
soon as you have money, everyone asks you for it, and you feel guilty if you don't give it to them. And this is, I mean, there's no right answer to this. It's just an issue that we have to deal with, that the best solution is to create jobs for everybody so they can make more money. So I'm going to tell you, that's in the back of my mind, since I consider the people on our calls friends. I mean, I feel your issues. Terry feels your issues. I mean, Terry sits up praying for people. And I ask myself, how can I help people? What do I have? And, we're doing a business. And our business is getting by. It could be booming, but Terry is part of the business. I'm part of the business. I resist doing the business because to make it boom, I'd have to jump in head first. And this other work we're doing is too important. And I have to keep taking time to do things that are more important than making money. Except when you run out of money, it becomes really important, okay? Because then you can't do anything else, right? So, and if you can make a lot of money and it didn't take a lot of time, that would be the best of all worlds.
It's a very first chakra thing, you know? The first chakra has to be in place and functioning all right for everything else to function all right, you know?
Right.
Yeah. So in that respect, I am stuck on money because I can't get to the other, the other areas until I get this straightened out.
No, I'll tell you one idea I have, okay?
Yeah.
It's an idea. I mean, I have tried to train so many people to sell our pendants in our group, and I have not succeeded. And one of the things I realize is I can do things. I'm a really good communicator. I'm really good at being with people and being in the moment. And when we first started the pendant business, we started some stores in Sedona. And when we first started, I had no idea what was going to happen. Our original few stores, I would go visit them at least once a week, sometimes twice a week, because I was trying to learn how the pendants sell. And I was trying to see what I could do to make them sell better. And it worked, because the stores that I originally started, I mean, they are doing the best, probably, of any of our stores. Because after we started getting stores after that, I started, first of all, a lot of them weren't local. And so I couldn't just drop in. And second of all, I didn't want to do it. And I kept trying to train somebody to do it. But I could not succeed in training anybody, you know. So, and I said, maybe it's because I'm resisting. I don't know. But there are certain people that do have the ability to communicate really well, and other people don't. So in the back of my mind was, how about if I had a product that you didn't really have to communicate too much on, and then anybody could do it? And so I'm thinking maybe we have it, but I have to test it somehow. Who is that? I got somebody sleeping.
whole planet healing time.
Okay. All right. Terry, we're going to go to whole planet healing. As usual, you didn't say a word. Are you there? Hello, Terry. Where are you muted? All right. I hope this wasn't boring. This was my lazy
never,
man's call.
Never boring.
Pardon me?
It's
never boring. You know what? It's good that we're all humans, no matter how exalted the Elohim are and how amazing some of the stuff happens. One way or another, we have to integrate it into our humanness. It's my challenge. It's your challenge. And the more we do that, we have to take into account our humanness, like what food you need to eat. What do you eat meat? Are you a vegetarian? Do you need sex? How many times a week, to stay in balance?